This is Amber Ray
and Rusty Tanton,
and you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show focused on all things Atlanta and sometimes elsewhere.
It's May 27th. We're just outside of Memorial Day weekend, where we traveled to Baltimore, Maryland for Balticon, which is a science fiction con.
Yep.
Lovely color there.
Oh, you were looking at me like you expected me to say something, but...
I don't know. I just haven't done an introduction in a while, and so I kind of have forgotten how they went. So now that that's gone very smoothly. Basically, this is going to be another one of our talky podcasts where we just sit here and rap at you. And most of this podcast is going to focus on Balticon, where we just traveled, because there's a lot to talk about. Amber was invited up there as a guest of Nobilis, one of our frequent commenters, to be a panelist on several of the panels, and we'll discuss that experience. But first, we have a voicemail from Nobilis left before we went up to Balticon.
He's kind of the Jesus of voicemails, and earlier today, Rusty reminded me that somebody, like a couple of years ago, called me the Jesus of blog comments, because yeah.
I think it was Tony Simon,
I think
actually.
It was.
Tony called you comment Jesus.
Apparently, I used to leave a lot of comments by whatever standard of the day, and so he called me comment Jesus, and so I think Nobilis is voicemail Jesus.
Yeah, when we were up at Balticon... he was talking about giving feedback on podcasts, and we'll get into most of that later, but apparently he's got like 18 podcast voicemails programmed into his cell phone, which I barely listen to 18 podcasts. I mean, I technically am subscribed to 35 or 40 of them, but there's only 10 or 15 that I listen to regularly, I think.
Anyway, here's that voicemail.
All right.
Hey, Rusty. Hi, Amber. This is Nobilis calling, your faithful commenter. Thanks for mentioning Balticon on the on Mostly ITP. I'm really looking forward to meeting you there. And that whole What is a Sex podcast thing is one of the reasons I thought you would be an excellent contribution to the panel. In my own circles, in the erotica writing circles, there's a lot of discussion going on about why fiction that includes explicit sex has to be its own separate genre of erotica. And then you have erotic science fiction and erotic fantasy and erotic romance and erotic suspense and all these other things, when the word does not describe themes or the same kinds of things that any other genre word describes. I mean, if you say space opera, that describes a whole castle of things. It doesn't just include how you do things, but there's a whole bunch of stuff about themes and stuff. Whereas if you talk about erotica, it only speaks to one thing. It's one tool that's part of the toolbox when you're writing erotica, and it's not when you're writing anything else. So it's kind of a weird distinction. Quite frankly, I would be really happy if I could be called a science fiction writer who just happens to include stuff in his stories that other people choose to pass up. So I'm kind of with you in how this all works out. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to change the name of my podcast. But that can be something that comes out of Balticon, and I'm really looking forward to meeting you, and thanks for giving me this opportunity. Bye.
So we did end up discussing that a little bit, and I tried to be clear, and you'll hear it whenever we post the audio of the panels, that I kept saying, in my introductions, I don't really think of myself as a sex podcaster, but people keep calling me a sex podcaster. But then I tried to be clear that I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, I didn't mean that.
Ooh, that's the worst thing ever.
Yeah, like, that's like, it would be awful if that's what I was. It's just because some people do think of anything to do with sex as being bad or like an appellation they don't want to apply to them because they think it might, you know, I don't know, be like a scarlet letter or something like that. And I don't think that. But I do think it's interesting that basically just talking about it at all can get you labeled a sex podcaster, or I guess in his case, an erotica writer or whatever. And it doesn't really happen with anything else. I mean, like, I don't know, like, what's something I've written about, like, maybe once in a blue moon on my blog, like, I don't even know, like, food or something. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't really write about food, but every once in a while I might say, like, we had this great
meal. Hey, look what I cooked for dinner.
Meal, or, well, yeah. What you cooked what for I, dinner. Cause
that
I
would, that would have been my former blog.
But yeah. It wouldn't mean that suddenly it's a food blog.
Yeah.
But with sex, you know, you mentioned it a couple of times, and then that's, you know, kind of pinned on there as
absolutely.
A description.
I mean, there are a lot of people now who I think, at least on some level, seem to think of this as a sex podcast. And honestly, that idea is kind of ridiculous to me. But at the same time, I don't want that. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I don't want that reaction to sound like, oh, that'd be a terrible thing to be a sex podcast. It's just not what this is.
I just don't think it's accurate because that makes it sound, and I said this in a panel, that just, to me, that makes it seem like sex is the only subject that we talk about on the podcast, and it's not. But on the other hand, I mean, I know that people like to categorize, and I mean, we all do it. I mean, I think it's kind of natural. I don't think categorizing is really a bad thing. I mean, I feel very good when I have categorized things. You should see all the folders and subfolders I have in my Outlook at work. You should see all the labels.
What about all the effort
Gmail.
You put into your Flickr tags?
Just because if things are just in total disarray with no categories or nothing at all, no organization at all, I just feel like a cluttered workspace is a cluttered mind. Like, that's how I feel. But I also don't think that, I also think, I guess, that sometimes it can be taken to the extreme where the categorization itself can start to dictate the content or dictate expectations, and then it becomes too restrictive. And sometimes people, I think, apply categories for the wrong reasons, out of stereotypes or, you know, misunderstandings or stuff like that. So I think it's good and bad.
Yeah.
Because I don't want it, because I don't think it's realistic. I mean, I have read people sometimes who basically say, oh, you know, labels are bad, categories are bad, stuff like that. And I mean, I've probably said that. I know I've said that before, especially with the word labels. And mostly I believe that, but I'm just saying that, like, I don't think 100% of the time in all situations that the phenomenon of wanting to categorize things in order to make sense out of the world is a bad thing. I think that's a natural thing. I think it's just more about how, when, and why you do it.
Yeah. Well, we've got some more listener / friend feedback here. Why don't we start, because we put out a question on Twitter, what would you like to ask us about Balticon? And so the first response I saw anyway was from Bobby Blackwolf, who does the All Games Radio Bobby Blackwell Show podcast. He asks, since you guys aren't big sci-fi buffs, as far as I can tell, what's the biggest thing you learned about science fiction fandom from Balticon? Did you learn anything?
I don't know. I don't know that I learned anything about sci-fi fandom. Maybe you should answer.
I think, I mean, if the question is like from like a kind of anthropological standpoint, for lack of a better way to understand that question, you know, what did I learned that I didn't know. I think I learned a lot more from that kind of standpoint when we went to Dragon Con a couple of years ago. I just, that was my first sci-fi con. And what surprised me then was just, I shouldn't have been surprised by this, and yet I was, that just how diverse sci-fi fans are, and I don't know, it made me look at all sorts of fandom and just realize you can't pigeonhole people as much as I was. And I don't think I was pigeonholing people that much, but you do build up stereotypes in your mind about who science fiction fans are, or about who sports fans are, or you know, any other number of things. And that's kind of the closest to a sort of moral I've taken from these cons. The best thing about Balticon was really I just got to meet a lot of cool people and have good conversations with them. And I don't know if I took like any grand lessons from that, but I did learn that Christian apocalyptic fiction isn't selling as well as I thought it was.
That's a good lesson. I only heard about half of that, but yeah, it was interesting. But the question, I think Jenny should answer that question, and I know that, you know, it'll be a cold day in hell when I probably am able to actually get her to call in and leave a voicemail, but that doesn't mean I can't try, because I got her to start a blog after about 3 years. But she kept asking and trying to figure out what are the rules, especially for presenting oneself. And what we basically determined was casual or costume, but you couldn't be like dressed up like in a suit.
Unless
the suit was part of
a
costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it was like a really weird suit.
Like that guy who had like the flower tie on that I saw. And she kept saying that, like, this was an eye-opener for her because it's so not her usual scene. It's not really my usual scene either, though, but, you know, I guess I've been at Dragon Con before, so I've had something like it. But I'll see if I can prod her into calling in with an answer.
All right. So the next question came from Paul Fisher, who does the Balticon podcast.
The Balticon podcast,
yes,
yeah.
Oddly enough, at... He asked this on Twitter. What would you like to see next year at Balticon? Who else should attend?
I don't know who else should attend. I mean, whoever wants to, I guess. But what I would like to see... well, I know that I'm probably not like the main target audience for Balticon because I'm not really into sci-fi. Although, we were talking... a couple, like last night or maybe the night before, about how, you know, really what we're not into is bad sci-fi.
Yeah.
And that I can like sci-fi if it's done well.
Well, recently, I mean, just starting a couple months ago when I got my iPhone, I started listening to Escape Pod, and I love that podcast. I mean, Steve Ellie's podcast, it's great. I mean, they're great stories, and I think I like good stories no matter what genre they're in.
And I agree. So I guess the thing is that just like it's not something that I seek out, but if I happen to hear something or read something and it happens to be sci-fi and it happens to be good, then I'll probably like it. So since I'm probably not, you know, the exact target audience for it, you know, take my suggestions with the appropriate serving of salt. But I would like to see if they do the quote unquote late night podcasting track again, or late night new media track again, which is like the sex stuff. I mean, I think it's kind of cute to have it literally late night, like have it at 11 p.m. and midnight and everything, but that also meant there was not a very big turnout for those sessions. Some of them went well, even so, one of them went not so well.
Well, it was inappropriate laughing guy.
It was that guy.
I'm not going to play it, but I was messing around and I made a mix of all the inappropriate laughter that was in that session.
I'm sure if you really want to hear it, that Rusty will put that up for you as a separate file.
Yeah.
But so I think it would be nice to have that stuff moved to different time slots.
Or even, you know, mix it up. I mean, you know, somebody has to be at midnight, but at least move some of the sessions out, you know, a little earlier so that maybe more people would have a chance to attend them.
Yeah. And even just a couple hours earlier is fine. I mean, you can still call it late night if it starts at 9 o'clock, right?
HBO starts showing R-rated movies at 8, so... all right. So we also, you received a comment on your blog from J.R. Blackwell.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to read that?
Sure. It was nice to meet you this weekend. I was very pleased that you were on the panel on How Not to Be That Guy and were sharing your thoughts on the topic. I talked about that panel for the rest of the convention. There were some very interesting perspectives raised by the audience and the panelists. I'm very interested to hear what your thoughts on it were. I'm really glad that you shared the points on Synecdoche's seminal reference post. I think it took the panel in an interesting direction. If you find there's a full audio of the panel somewhere, I'd be interested to review it. There will be full audio. We're going
to
post.
Yeah, we need to get that up. We'll have that up in the next couple of days for sure.
So this panel, we spent, Rusty and I, and then Rusty and Jenny and Dan and I, and Dan is a guy who's a blogger and frequent, well, former frequent blog commenter. He moves in some of the same blog circles as I do, and so we met at the con. But we spent a lot of time talking about that panel, and then also with Regina and some other people. It was just... I mean, we probably should have broken out the recorder when we were talking about it originally, but it didn't occur to me, and we probably wouldn't have had quite as good a conversation. What do you think? I mean, as somebody who is in the audience and not on the panel, I guess what do you want to say to try to sum up, like, the 10 different conversations we've had about it? And I'm honestly, I'm still processing a lot of it because it was...
It was, well, there was just a lot going on. It's the sort of thing where that topic probably needs its own conference. And there were what, I don't know, 6 panelists?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And it was a very sort of fast moving conversation. It jumped around a lot of topics. I mean, it's kind of a where to begin sort of thing.
Well, first of all, this is a suggestion that I'll have for Paul for next year, assuming he's still the one coordinating it and that they'll have that panel again. I think this is a panel that really needed ground rules at the beginning. Kind of like Daisha's panel on, or not panel because it was just her, Daisha's session on sex workers and media representation at WAM. Where, you know, at the beginning of that session, she kind of laid out the ground rules of, this is not the place to discuss or to debate whether or not sex work is a valid choice. This is not the space to question sex workers' integrity, assume there are sex workers in the audience, you know, all those kinds of things. So I think that kind of thing is really necessary for a panel like that because people... A lot of the people in the audience were getting kind of riled up, which really proves the point of why the panel is needed to begin with. And so I think one of the ground rules needs to be for the audience, don't speak unless you are directly called on. Because
well, there was one guy who was just about yelling at you.
He was yelling. Yeah. He was yelling, I respect you more than 90% of the people. And what I wanted to say... but I was going to say it, but I didn't get a chance because then like somebody else said something and it just got away from me. But I wanted to say, you know, yelling at me that you respect me is not a very good way to get me to believe you.
Yeah.
In fact, quite the opposite.
I don't think you need to badger somebody into believing that they're respected.
Because the more you try, the less likely I'm going to be to believe that.
I think also it could have benefited, just to give one example, from maybe a little more clarification on given topics, for example.
Yes.
Just to give one example, I don't remember how it came about. I mean, we can all listen to the audio and find out how it came up. But the question of nice guys came up. And I think that everybody on the panel had a different idea of what was being talked about when the phrase nice guy came up. I mean, some of the panelists were thinking actual nice guys, people who are just nice guys flat out. And then there's also
the capital N, capital G trademark, nice guy.
Air quotes, nice guy.
Who's actually an asshole.
Who's actually not a nice guy at all. I think at that point, the discussion would have benefited from somebody clarifying which one was being discussed, because I think all the panelists kind of each were sort of answering their own version of the question.
Well, I was trying to clarify it, but then it kind of just got away, spiraled off, because I think that was a very relevant topic to cover, and we can link to there's several blog posts about nice guys that we can link to in the show notes for this podcast so people know what we're talking about. But I think that was very relevant because there are a lot of guys, in my experience, there are a lot of guys at events like this who are the nice guy. They go around basically, you know, beating their chests about how they're such nice guys. And, oh, isn't it horrible? Why can't they get a date? Why don't the women realize how nice they are? You know what? You're an asshole. And I think...
Well, that gets into entitlement and...
It's entitlement. Yeah. It's passive aggressiveness. You're not setting things up for a relationship of equals if that's the way you're approaching it. And I don't know if it's straight up cluelessness or what it is, but whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It needs to be addressed because that's not cool. And so I think it's kind of a shame that that wasn't explored further. And the other thing, when you were saying about setting expectations, that's something that should be done at the beginning, because like Jenny was saying, she was very frustrated with the way it started out and was basically like, wait a second, is this dating tips 101?
Yeah.
And I was really surprised by that too, that like the first couple of questions were like, how to ask a girl out? How long should I stare at your chest? Like, what? Wait a minute. Is this the panel that I'm supposed to be on?
You know, I think it just would have benefited from some clarification about what was being discussed. Is this dating tips, or is this how not to be the creepy guy, or is this something else?
And I think...
And I think that people at various points were sort of engaged in a different panel discussion in their head, you know?
It can't be all of those things. And frankly, I think having a panel called Don't Be That Guy, which to my mind is much more clearly aligned with how not to be the creepy guy, which, by the way, Steve, if you're listening, hey, upload that audio. That'd be great. having a panel called Don't Be That Guy and basically starting it off with like dating tips bullshit, like that just reinforces a lot of the crap that leads people to be that guy. I mean, it really undermines the whole purpose of the session. To me, it's like, you know, why are we to assume that the only possible interactions between men and women at a con are based on possibility of romantic involvement or sexual involvement?
I'd like to think they all like science fiction.
I mean, I know, right? And like, that's why I kept saying, you know, people, how should I approach you? How should I, like a person, just talk to me like a person? I mean, what is the... I mean, I don't know what's so difficult. But I was... That panel was... I mean, I guess it had its ups and downs. I feel like as it wore on, I got a little better able to express the things that I wanted to express for the most part. But there were a lot of things that went unchecked. I am glad that Jenny raised her hand and pointed out that the way Paul kicked it off right from the start with setting himself up as the bullshit detector was an example of being that guy. I don't think it's appropriate to have a man as a moderator for that panel. It may be appropriate to have one or possibly two men as panelists, but not as a moderator. So I don't know. I mean, I didn't even throw out the P word privilege, even though it was so applicable several times.
It would have taken half an hour to
explain
it.
People don't have a common understanding of what that word means. But it was, I mean, I was, frankly, there were times when I was very uncomfortable. I was like shaking a little bit at certain points, and I tried to maintain some composure and explain to people why certain things are not okay, not get carried away and just do my reflexive laugh because everybody else is laughing, even though it's not funny and I actually feel horrible. I tried not to do that. I think I was successful, at least 99% of the time. I don't know. There was something else I was going to say. I forgot. I mean, afterwards, the other panelists, you know, most of them were really nice to me, and which surprised me. I was telling Rusty, it always kind of surprises me when I'm on a panel and then the other panelists are nice to me. I don't know. That's my own shit, I guess. I don't know. But they said they appreciated what I had to say. You know, they were glad I was there. They liked my perspective, etc. So that was good to hear. I just hope that maybe some of it resonated with at least one person in the audience. I mean, you can't get through to everybody, but maybe one or two people. And I don't understand why. The other thing that Jenny was saying was that, you know, she couldn't, she found it astounding that it was apparently so shocking, such a shocking thing, or so difficult to grasp that, you know, if you are being creepy or inappropriate, you are the one who is responsible for that behavior, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why that's a revolutionary thing.
It was one of those things where I wanted to chime in at some point, and I really sort of resent that expectations of men are that low. And I think people live up or down to their expectations. And if you set the bar low, that's what they're going to live up to.
Yeah, and that basically there are guys who get praised for being such nice guys when all they've done is not be a complete asshole.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know,
don't get a cookie for that. Great, you're a normal person.
I mean, I didn't kill any kittens today. Does that make me a hero?
Here's a gold star. Yeah. No, yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Here's your not killing kittens gold star, you know?
Yeah. And one thing that really bothered me was when a guy in the audience said that, you know, well, if your partner is a woman podcaster, you know, you basically have to accept that this kind of thing is going to happen to her. No, you don't have to accept it. Absolutely not.
No, you don't.
And that scares me that people have that attitude.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get all slippery slope about it, but it's a kind of thing that leads to a lot of people just passively accepting things that they shouldn't be accepting, and I don't know, it bugs me.
So all in all, and I have a lot more to say. I'll probably write a blog post. I've already written one blog post that's just kind of touches on it in passing. I want to write a longer one. We'll see if I actually find the words to do it. But all in all, I'm glad that the panel existed. I'm glad that I was on it, even though half the time I really did not feel good. I hope that it was a learning experience for people involved. I hope that next year that panel will be there again and it'll be it'll be better. It'll
fine-tuned a little bit.
Yeah, the expectations will be managed and, you know, maybe it can be a little more productive. I was happy to meet, you know, the other panelists because they were all really nice, cool people. So, you know, it's not like it was a totally bad experience, but it was a heavy experience. I mean,
heavy, I think, is the appropriate word.
Yeah.
So
I guess now we get to switch gears.
We get to switch gears a little bit. Yeah.
To end on not quite as heavy a note.
Yeah. So you were on a few other panels. What were some of the other panels you were on?
Oh, we're still on Balticon. Okay. I was on sex, tech, now, and future, erotic podcasts and sexy new media, and so you want to be a sex podcaster. With all of those, I was on the panels with Nobilis, Helen E.H. Madden, and Regina Lynn, and they are all awesome. And the first one I wasn't on it with Nobilis. He was supposed to be on it, but he was double booked. The first one, which was Sex Tech Now and Future, we won't be putting up the audio of that because there was a guy in that session who was so that guy. That's the inappropriate laughter Rusty was talking about.
Yeah, he kind of derailed the entire session.
What was so fucking funny all the time? And like, he wouldn't shut up. He kept monopolizing the discussion, even though it honestly wasn't really a discussion, but he just kept interjecting. He was being that guy, and I tried to drop a few hints. You know, I tried to say, hey, you know, I'm going to be on another panel tomorrow at 2 p.m. called Don't Be That Guy.
Don't be that guy.
Obviously, he didn't show up because people who are that guy never think they're that guy.
Yeah.
So that one, I mean, I think we did manage to mention some good information. But I think, unfortunately, and we tried, I tried in particular to stimulate other, you know, conversation from other people in the audience when we solicited questions and comments, because there were probably, I don't know, 8 or 10 more people in there at least.
Yeah, at least.
But nobody said anything. And I really think that the presence of that guy.
I tried to throw in a few in.
You did. And I'm glad because that one you said about, you know, revisiting the robots thing.
Well, you know, actually, I thought that part of the discussion was really good.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the thing wasn't a total bust. And, you know, it's up to Amber whether we put it up or not. I wouldn't mind putting it up, you know, just as a.
I don't want to put it up.
But it, you know, it's kind of her deal. So up to her. But, There was a part of the discussion that I thought was good, and there were actually several parts, but the part I remember was about the ethics of sex robots.
Mm-hmm.
What if a sex robot, and by sex robot I mean a robot who is built to have sex with you, what if a sex robot could say no?
Yeah.
It's not a person. But yet it does have feelings and...
It has some form of self-awareness.
Some form of self-awareness and knows enough that it doesn't want to have sex with you.
Yeah. That was a really interesting question.
I think there should be a whole panel based on that. So, Paul, if you're still listening after all of that, what should there be next year? There should be an entire panel on the ethics of sex robots.
And it could even be, if you don't want it to be sex robots... It could even be the ethics of robots, or like basically what happens when a robot can say no.
Yeah.
To anything, really.
To anything, not just sex, but yeah, what happens when a robot could say no? You can leave it at that, and that'll leave it sort of open for people to bring in their suggestions and topics and all that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think the panel was a total bust, but I think significant portions of it were derailed by...
I think, unfortunately, other audience members felt too intimidated to speak up because of his presence.
Yeah.
So that was unfortunate. The other two panels, erotic podcasts and sexy new media, and So You Want to Be a Sex Podcaster, both of those I thought went really well. And they both had sort of a small attendance, which was unfortunate. I would have liked there to be more people there, but I do feel like those panels went really well, and we'll be posting the audio of those.
Yeah, they were great. I enjoyed them as well. So mm-hmm. I guess, do you have any other thoughts about Balticon before we move on to just the couple of other things we were going to mention?
If you go to Balticon next year and it's in the same location and you want to take the light rail from the airport to the place because it seems like a good idea, just give yourself some time because it's going to take as long to do that as it will take you to fly from Atlanta to Baltimore.
Yeah, our flight from Atlanta to Baltimore was a little over an hour and a half, and I think we spent 2 hours on the light rail from the Baltimore airport 30 miles up to the hotel.
Yeah.
which, I mean, that was, it actually was fine on the way up. because it's about a $70 cab ride from the hotel to the airport. So you have a real decision to make there. Do you want to spend 2 hours on the train, or do you want to spend $70 on a cab to go for it to take, you know, 35, 40 minutes instead? The route we went is we took the train from the plane on the way to the hotel, and it cost $1.60 to go 30 miles, but it took 2 hours. And then when we needed to catch our flight out of town, we took a cab down there, and it cost $70, and it took, you know, 35, 40 minutes. I think we'll probably do the same thing next year. We'll probably take the train on the way up and a cab on the way back.
So FYI. Now the next topic, you read Nobilis's book.
I did. Nobilis has been, you know, he's been our most frequent voicemailer lately, and we finally got to meet him at Balticon. He's a really nice guy, really, really smart and funny and all of that. And
I feel bad that I don't leave voicemails for really anything, but honestly, that's just because I hate to talk on the phone, even if I'm just talking to a voicemail.
Which is funny, because we talk into a podcast, but...
Different thing.
Different thing. Well, you know, you could leave Skype messages for people.
Yeah, different thing.
Different thing, yeah. Anyway... he has a book called Magical Clothes, which he also podcasts on his podcast, Nobilis Erotica. And he happened to give us a copy, and I read it on the way home on the plane for the most part. And then a little, you know, I was almost finished a little bit afterwards. And I really enjoyed it. I typically am not into erotic fiction anyway. It's not like I'm more visually oriented when it comes to, for lack of a less crass phrase, wanking material, you know, and I read the book and I enjoyed the story. It's not what I would, I really liked it. You know, we discussed this in the session that sometimes there's not like logical feedback for fiction. You remember there was one particular session. And
well, what are some things that you think made you enjoy this story as opposed to some other erotic fiction stories you've read?
It was really creative. I mean, he had a really creative device in basically the basic gist of the story is it centers around this female character who's a late teenager. And her mother was being punished because she, the main character, had called out the emperor who ruled over the land on his magical clothes not really being magical.
You know, the emperor's new clothes. Yeah. Everybody knows the story.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that basically he's naked and all that. And it just kind of follows some adventure she goes through. I don't want to give away any spoilers or anything like that, but you know, she meets people and she gets deeper entwined in some things that I'm again not going to give away some spoilers. But it's just I thought that a lot of it was really creative in a way that I don't typically consider most of the erotic fiction I've read, which is admittedly not a whole lot, to be creative. It was just really well done.
I haven't read it yet. I'm looking forward to reading it. I like the premise of it because I always think it's interesting whenever a story kind of takes the end point of an existing story by someone else, you know, or in something in the popular imagination and kind of picks up where that left off because there are endless possibilities of what could happen next. And so I'm kind of intrigued by that.
Yeah. So we really liked it. Thanks for giving us a copy. And, you know, y'all should check that out. Southern crept in there.
Last but not least, totally unrelated to anything above, this coming weekend we're going on another one of our road trips to Columbus, Georgia, and all points in between. We're staying at a bed and breakfast in Columbus. What should we do in and around Columbus? If you have suggestions, call, email, whatever.
Leave them on our voicemail.
Let us know. Leave them on our voicemail.
678-389-9441. There was one thing we saw online that we were thinking about doing.
There's like this haunted bridge where called Crybaby Bridge. It's in the Weird Georgia book that I have, where it's like
basically you take a road out of town until it turns into a dirt road, and then
You park your car and you can hear, like, it's supposed to be where like some kids died. It's probably gonna scare the fuck out of me. It's either gonna scare the fuck out of me or I'm gonna be underwhelmed. That's kind of how those things go.
Yeah, I have never had an honest to God ghost experience.
I don't really want to have one.
The closest thing I had was when we were walking in that house and we had a kind of questionable EVP.
Yeah.
Electronic voice phenomena. There was something that sounded sort of like it answered me, but not enough to really convince me.
So stay tuned. But if you have any other suggestions about what we should do, just let us know and we'll do them.
So I think that's our talkie.
All right. See y'all next time.
The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.